Welcome to the DermVet Podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, a board-certified veterinary dermatologist practicing in Portland, Oregon with animal dermatology clinics. I'm also a mom of two, just trying to find the balance like everyone else. Let's learn to ditch the itch, cytology, everything, and make derm more fun than frustrating. Dealing with otitis cases seem like they can go one of two ways: very straightforward and simple, or extremely difficult, frustrating, chronic. And flushing the ear is such a crucial part of dealing with an otitis case, and that can be true for the active infection itself, obviously, but also in preventing recurrence. When we deal with, say, an allergy case that has a recurrent infection they're dealing with, otitis they get every other month or something like that, having that owner regularly flush out the ears once or twice a week can be really important just to lessen the frequency and severity of those otitis episodes. And I've done episodes of the podcast before where we talk about the importance of not only cytology, but carrying different products within your veterinary clinic. When I get asked about ear flush or where I'm lecturing on otitis, sometimes I get asked, like, what's your favorite ear flush? And that is just not a fair question to ask, because that's like asking me what's my favorite allergy medication. I've had cases do really well and really poorly in any flush, any allergy medication. They're all completely different. But one thing I did want to touch on is the importance of selecting a flush for a gram-negative otitis. And predominantly, we're going to think of things like Pseudomonas otitis. Because when we're dealing with the Pseudomonas otitis, the frustrating, difficult thing about it is they can be really ulcerative. We know Pseudomonas is the classic organism to create a biofilm, and a biofilm is essentially a slimy layer. So think about individual bacteria. They sit there and start to create this slime shield, essentially. What happens is the bacteria within that slime shield will replicate, and little portions of slime will basically like lift off and go to other portions of the ear that's kind of have this resistance pattern to them. And then they'll go to another part of the ear and start replicating more bacteria that are still very resistant and talk to each other through this slime shield. Well, the problem is when you put a topical ear medication in that ear, it can be really difficult for that antibiotic or even an oral antibiotic to penetrate that slime layer. It serves as that shield. It's a barrier. So essentially, what can be really important in Pseudomonas otitis is to disrupt that barrier. And flushing, whether it's a deep flush we need to do through videotoscopy or an in-house sedated flush you can do in your clinic or the owner regularly flushing at home, it's really critical that that biofilm is getting disrupted so we can get to the bacteria, we can take away their shield. So we know there's many organisms that can form a biofilm. There's even yeast has been reported to have a biofilm in some cases, other forms of bacteria. But Pseudomonas is definitely the classic one we know can cause a lot of issues. So we need the act of disrupting that biofilm through flushing the ear itself, the motion of breaking it up, having them massage that ear for 30 to 60 seconds at home. It's really important that we're actually teaching clients how to flush an ear, because we are relying on them to do that action at home to help us get rid of that infection. But we also want to be thoughtful about the products that we're selecting. And in these particular cases, when I'm dealing with a gram-negative organism like Pseudomonas, because I've done my cytology, I'm looking under the microscope, I'm seeing that there's a lot of rod-shaped organisms, I'm going to reach for a product that has Tris-EDTA. And Tris-EDTA is really well known for its effect, especially on gram-negative organisms. And what's really nice about Tris-EDTA, and EDTA, you guys have probably heard of it. We use it in various other places in veterinary medicine. Luckily, it's a very long name, and we use the acronym. It's ethylene diamine tetraacetic acid. You can just call it ETA, because that's what I call it. But Tris-EDTA is an ingredient that we can find in various ear flushes, and we'll kind of go through the types of ear flushes that are available with this product. that can help us in numerous ways. One, we know, and this has been proven even in human literature, that it has anti-biofilm activity. So besides the action of having the owner flush the ear out or us doing a deep ear flush in the clinic to break up that biofilm, we want to use ingredients that are helping us too and have those anti-biofilm properties. The classic way that we also use TRIZ-EDTA, or we think of the mechanism of how it works, is that it's an antibiotic potentiating ingredient. And what that means is it helps a lot of our antibiotics even have more of an effect against those organisms. So if you took a gram negative organism and think about a bunch of holes getting poked into that bacteria, that's essentially what TRIZ-EDTA does. It pokes a bunch of holes, it punches little holes into the bacteria. So then our antibiotic actually gets in and disrupts that bacteria even more. And when we talk about Pseudomonas otitis, we know how resistant that bacteria can get. So if we're using a product that not only helps whatever therapy we're going to use systemically, topically, penetrate that bacteria better and have more of a chance to eradicate that infection, but we're also able to use it because of its anti-biofilm effects, which are really, really wonderful and lovely. So there's various TRIZ-EDTA products out there. Dechra is the company that predominantly, I think they actually are the only ones that have branded TRIZ-EDTA within their ingredients. The one that I use a lot is Triz Ultra with keto, because that contains ketoconazole. And a lot of times when I actually do cytology in these cases, I'll just see a bunch of rods with a bunch of yeast organisms. So I have the Triz-EDTA that helps with the biofilm, the bacteria, and then I also have the ketoconazole to help with the yeast. So that is a flush I use quite a bit in the clinic. It's also non-acidic, non-stinging, so that it pets just seem to really tolerate it quite well. There is also a flush called Malaquette Plus TRIZ-EDTA. Essentially, it's very similar to Triz Ultra with keto, but additionally, it has chlorhexidine in it to help with bacteria. You can also get products that just have TRIZ-EDTA. For example, they have a TRIZ-EDTA aqueous flush that has the anti-biofilm and antibacterial property of simply TRIZ-EDTA. And then there's Triz Chlorflush, which has TRIZ-EDTA and chlorhexidine. So lots of different ingredients, including the TRIZ-EDTA, that can help you with these cases. And for me, it really depends on what I'm seeing cytologically. But if I'm seeing a gram-negative organism, I'm definitely reaching for a flush that has TRIZ-EDTA, because I just love the fact that I'm getting lots of benefit from having that ingredient within that flush. And if I'm going to have owners at home flushing the ear, I want to maximize the chance it's going to be successful. So traditionally, when I first started dermatology, you're mostly using that product because of the fact it had that antibiotic potentiating effect of putting the holes in the bacteria so my antibiotic could get there better. But the more and more we've learned about biofilms over the last several years and how much it really impedes our ability to get rid of these infections and these terrible Pseudomonas otitis cases, I love the fact that this ingredient also helps with that. And like I said, education is really important. Having your technicians, your assistants, really go over with the owner, how do you do a flush? I have them fill up the ear canal all the way until it's basically pouring out of the entrance of the ear canal. And then I have them palpate the cartilage of the canal so they can actually feel what I want them massaging. And I usually instruct owners to massage for about 30 to 60 seconds and then let the pet shake their head out and then just wipe the outside. You know, they can take a little cotton ball or cotton round and kind of wipe the outside of the actual entrance to the ear canal. And a lot of times if it's a Pseudomonas case, there'll be lots of slimy goo that they're getting out. And then we'll put the ear medication, the topical ear medication in, you know, like 10, 15 minutes after, kind of just depending on the case. And then it's allowing that antibiotic to penetrate a bit better into the canal. But then we also have that TRIZ-EDTA that has been really helpful for those antibiotic potentiating effects. The frequency for a pseudomonocytitis flush for me really depends on the severity and what the owner can do. You honestly, in some of these cases, if they're really bad and you have a tolerant dog and say you're controlling the inflammation and some of the discomfort with something like an oral steroid, which we often need in these cases, we may be having the owner flush once a day, once every other day when they're really active, terrible cases, because we want to maximize the chance that we're going to get rid of this infection before it gets so resistant or calcifies the ear canal that we're left only with surgical removal of the ear canal as an option. A lot of times, if they're more moderate or if the owners aren't able to do it every day or the pet won't be tolerant of that, then I might do something like two to, you know, about twice weekly. And then I'll back off the frequency of flush. And if we get rid of the Pseudomonas infection, we might eventually change what flush they're on. But most of these cases, the owners end up flushing about at least once, if not twice a week as maintenance, because we really want to maximize the chance this infection is not going to come back. And we're also, it's super important to say this, figuring out the underlying cause. Because you can do your best job to get rid of a Pseudomonas otitis. You can have them flush appropriately. You can use the right medications. But if we don't figure out what the pet's allergic to and control that, or if it's an endocrinopathy, because remember, there are reasons otitis happen besides allergies. I have had terrible Pseudomonas cases in the ear happen from hypothyroidism. I've had it happen from hyperadrenocorticism. I've had it happen secondary to pemphigus or other autoimmune diseases. So it's important to realize that a Pseudomonas otitis can happen from other things besides allergies. And if we don't get that underlying cause figured out, that infection is just going to come back, and it might come back even more aggressive and, you know, unable to be gone if we don't get the underlying cause figured out. So, you know, be diligent, do the appropriate medical management, use some oral steroids if those ear canals are edematous and swollen, if you're able to. You know, I will culture these ears to make sure I know if I'm dealing with something like Pseudomonas, or, you know, we have talked in the past how cultures themselves can be a little controversial in our field. I think there's personally still a really good place for them. It helps me differentiate what the gram-negative organism is that I'm seeing on cytology, and it may guide something like my oral antibiotic if I feel like I have to reach for that in these cases. You just want to be cautious on how you're using it for your topical antibiotic, because remember, cultures are based on serum concentrations, and we're getting much higher concentrations with topical therapy, but you can find that in past episodes of the podcast. But if I'm getting a gram-negative organism, I definitely recommend getting a form of a Tris EDTA flush in your clinic. Like I said, we have Tris Ultra with Keto, but there's various formulations that can be really helpful, and it can just be really beneficial in these cases to get rid of the infection and get rid of that biofilm. So I hope that's helpful. I know how difficult Pseudomonas otitis cases can be, but picking an appropriate flush to go with your topical therapy and systemic therapy, if it's warranted in that case, can be really, really important in getting rid of that nasty infection. So I hope you guys enjoyed that little tidbit of information. As always, if you can leave a review of the podcast, if you can spread the word, if this is helpful for you so we can continue to help, you know, other pets out there suffering with these really gnarly otitis infections.